assessing our spiritual growth. Mark Twain is famous in the United States as a playwright, and he says, "Once continuous improvement is better than delayed perfection." What we need to do is continually assess our spiritual growth. Now, especially now, we're not gathering, we're not assembling with other saints. So that shouldn't stop us from studying God's Word. There are plenty of lessons and sermons that we can access and hear and study. We need to continue to pray. But I say this because God expects us to continually develop ourselves spiritually, knowing that perfection is about maturity toward our completion and making it into heaven. Paul would write in Philippians 3 and verse 12, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." And then we would read in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23, "To the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect." We need to be continually growing spiritually and assessing our spiritual growth. But the question then needs to be asked, how are we growing spiritually? What are we doing? You know, before this pandemic hit, we had the opportunity to assemble with the saints, and then there would be some that would just be sporadic at that. And they may look at the pandemic as saying, "Well, I've got some relief now. They don't expect me to be at the services all the time." But God expects you to grow spiritually. He expects you to assess your spiritual growth continually. Just because we're not able to assemble because of the pandemic does not give us the right or a reprieve from studying and growing spiritually. Peter would write in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." So we need to be, even though we're not assembling, we need to be constantly watching our spiritual growth. So how do we assess it? Well, what must we do to maintain and make sure that we have a genuine spiritual growth? Well, good nutrition is a good place to start. Jesus said he was the bread of life, is the bread of life. We read this in John chapter 6 and verse 35. He says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." We notice verse 63 here of John 6, and he says, "The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing, and the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life." We must feed upon his word. We must eat his words. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2 says, "Crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation." We have to grow. And when you think about it, especially now, there is a lot of spiritual junk food out there, and some of it actually tastes pretty good. I recently saw on Facebook where it showed these two people that had eaten everything in the house, and it said, "Now the pandemic is over, but we can't get out the door." Junk food is unhealthy. And just like the doctors and everything are telling us to exercise and eat healthy even while we're, you know, closed into our homes, the same is true spiritually. Just because we're not able to assemble with the saints on Sundays and gather on Wednesday nights for Bible study does not give us the right to not study. We need to maintain a good spiritual nutrition. And also we need to have spiritual exercise. Again, the Hebrew writer would tell us in chapter 5 in verse 13 and 14, "For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong." Paul would tell young Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and verses 7 and 8, "Train yourself to be godly, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." We need to put some exertion into using the Word of God. And then we need to be disciplined. We need to discipline our lifestyle. Paul would talk about this in the 1 Corinthians letter, chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. But the Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 12, the first two verses, "Therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that lay before him, endured a cross and despised the shame and has sat down at the right hand of God's throne." Notice how the Hebrew writer begins this verse. Let us lay aside every weight and run with endurance the race that lies before us. We need to have a disciplined lifestyle while we're here, while we're shut down. Even when the world is running on normal time, we need to have a disciplined lifestyle. You see, spiritual growth is about a lifestyle, the image of Christ being projected in us and from us. That means we need to walk, we need to correct, and we need to improve ourselves. John would write in 1 John 1, verse 7, beginning in verse 7 of chapter 1, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." And he goes on into chapter 2, and he says, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." So we see here that for us to have a genuine spiritual growth, we must feed on the proper things. We must have exercise. Spiritual exercise, spiritual nutrition, and spiritually have a lifestyle that is disciplined. Well, I want to suggest that there are ways that we can assess our spiritual growth. There are markers that we can use in assessing our spiritual life. Markers that of growing spiritually weak and away from Christ. There are things that we can look at in our life and say, I need to make some changes. It's just like people that work out. Chuck Brown and I were talking a moment ago about him working out. He likes to go to the gym, and now he can't go to the gym. So now people that do that have to make adjustments. Now, I'm not speaking from experience here because I don't go to the gym. I have in the past, don't do it anymore. But we have to make adjustments. Everybody is sitting around more, watching more TV. They're binge-watching shows on TV, and we need to make sure that we're not, spiritually speaking, that we're not just letting things go. We don't need to let ourselves go spiritually. We need to look at the markers. If my heart is dull toward God's Word, well, I don't have to study God's Word right now. The church, the elders have called off the assembly. That's no excuse. We must still and constantly study God's Word, even when we're not assembling with the saints. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 15, Jesus said, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. We need to have our hearts to where they're not dull. We need to have our hearts exercised and feeding on good spiritual nutrition. We need right now, we need to turn the TV off and we need to be reading. We need to be hearing. We need to be learning God's Word. And don't look at it as a chore, but look at it as an opportunity. Another marker that we can look at. My love for God is growing cold. We shouldn't have that marker in our lives. Jesus said in Matthew 24 and verse 12, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Matthew 22 speaks of the same thing. A lot of people look today at obeying Christ as being a burden. They look at worship as being a ritual, something that they're forcing themselves to do. Anything that you have to force yourself to do, you're not going to enjoy. Now, I understand there are things that we have to make ourselves do. We have to make ourselves go to work. Nobody really enjoys getting up and going to work. Nobody enjoys getting up at 4, 5:30 or whatever in the morning to do those things. But you enjoy the results of those. You enjoy being able to buy the groceries that you like. You enjoy being able to buy and participate in the recreation that that job provides you. But serving God is never a burden. It should never be that we force ourselves to worship God. We ought to come before the Lord in rejoicing. Prayer becomes an afterthought. We look at 1 John 5 and verse 3 here. Here's what it means to love God. It means that we obey His commands, and His commands are not hard to obey. Other translations would say here that His commands are not grievous. They're not burdensome. But I like this New International Version. It says, here's what it means to love God. It means that we obey His commands, and His commands are not hard to obey. There's nothing God has told you to do. Nothing that Christ has told us to do that is hard, that is difficult for us to obey. Another thing now that has become an afterthought is prayer. We may not be praying as much because of what's going on in the world. Consider the parable of the persistent widow in Luke chapter 18. Jesus said, in introducing this parable, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. In 1 Thessalonians 5, in verse 1, we're told to pray always. Pray without ceasing. When the Son of Man cometh, will He find faith on the earth? Is He going to find faith? Well, a lot of people say, well, I'm just frustrated over doing good. People get discouraged. You know, sometimes it seems like you're the only one trying to do what's right. Galatians 6 and verse 9 tells us not to be disheartened. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 13 tells us to be zealous of good works. And we're to do this unto the Lord. Some say, well, I'm eager to grow, but I want to satisfy the flesh. I'm growing eager to satisfy the flesh. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 11 talks about doing things that are indulgent. Is this curiosity or is this curiosity fleeing? This is a marker that we need to look at. But also a marker that we need to consider for our spiritually growing strong and closer to Christ is, I speak and live for the truth. I speak and live the truth in love. We speak to win souls and not an argument. And like I say, there are people right now with everything that's going on that they're more interested in winning and starting arguments over matters of opinion, and they're not trying to win souls. And we need to be using our spiritual marker to say, I'm winning souls even when I can't assemble with the saints. Another spiritual marker of strong growth is truth, when the truth of God is the focus of my attention and not attention on myself. Another is found in Ephesians 4 and verse 25, when we speak truthfully with others. These are markers showing that we're growing stronger spiritually. Another marker is that I'm doing faithfully my part as a member of the body of Christ. Some will say, well, we can't assemble. We can't do what we normally do. I beg to differ. You have a phone. You can pick up that phone and you have a church directory. You can call the members and ask them how they're doing. See if anyone needs anything. Email, text messaging, Facebook messaging, the old UPS, the old postal service. Take out a piece of paper, write a note to someone, stick it in an envelope, put a stamp on it, and mail it out. Let them know you're thinking about them. Offer scripture for these people. And let them know you're still trying to do your part as a body of Christ. I live as a part of the body and I'm not independent. I can't do things on my own. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And what we need to understand is that even with this pandemic going on, each and individual Christian is important. We are vital. That's what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 through 19. In verses 20 through 22, he tells us that every person is needed. And verses 23 and 24, he tells us that our jobs, every one of us, are honorable. And he talks about in verses 25 through 27 that there should be mutual care. Don't wait for someone to call and check on you. You do the calling. You call and check on someone else. The Hebrew writer would tell us in chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, that I am working for the Lord. This is a marker that I can look at and say that I'm growing spiritually stronger. I am diligent to be holy and living in peace and grace. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. Verse 18 especially tells us that we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, giving Him the glory and the honor, giving Him what is due. And we need to be putting off the old man of sin, putting away sinful attitudes and conducts, and putting on the new man of Christ. A lot of people might look at this that's going on right now and they say, hey, nobody's going to know. It's just me and my house alone, or me and my wife and my house alone. You got, a lot of these cable things are offering the extended cables, the bonus cables, the premier cables, and you can watch all these TV shows that the world wouldn't have to know that you're watching right now. That's the old man. That's the man of sin. You need to put those away, put those out of your life. Peter would tell us in 1 Peter chapter 1, or chapter 2, in the first two verses, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Have you ever put this passage to picture in your mind? You ever had a baby in your arms that's hungry? And you take that bottle and you put it up to that baby's mouth and you just, oh, that baby acts like it's starving. And it's going after that bottle, and it's just always trying to get as much milk in its mouth as possible. And that baby's just, oh, nom, 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 nom. He acts like he's never not eaten in a while. Peter's saying that's how we ought to desire the Word of God. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. It's sad to say that in our spiritual growth, when we assess our spiritual growth, too many times we are willing to lay the Bible aside, especially now, because we're not assembling with the saints, and we want to put the Bible aside until, hopefully, when the governor and the state lift the ban on us worshiping. And then we'll have to knock the dust and the cobwebs off of it. But now is the time we need to pick it up and read it more. Now is the time that we need to be assessing our spiritual growth. You have plenty of time. A lot of you are not going to work. A lot of you are confined to your homes. Brethren, right now is when you need to be picking up your Bible. Right now is when you need to be hitting your knees in prayer. Right now is when you need to be taking the Word of God and looking at it and comparing yourself to see if you are spiritually weak or spiritually strong. You know, we look at the pandemic as a bad thing. But it could actually be a good thing. If if we would actually put it to good use. Study more. Pray more. Check on our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, as we close out this lesson, spiritual growth is not something that's going to change in a day. It's not going to be a completion in one day. People that go to the gym, and it's the first time they've ever been to the gym, and they walk in there with a body that's flabby and everything, and they punch, lift weights and all this for a while. They get on a treadmill for 20 minutes, and they go home. They're tired. They're sore. And they think, I've done that, and I ain't going back. But my body, I look like Arnold Schwarzenegger now, and you don't. It takes time. It takes energy. It takes effort. Our growth only ends in the resurrection into eternal glory. We have to keep working at our spiritual growth. Paul writes in Philippians 3 in verses 12 through 14, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, my question is this. If you are growing weaker, growing farther away from Christ, then know that full-grown sin produces spiritual death. Spiritual death. James would tell us in James 1, verses 15 and 16, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. What we need to do is repent and change without delay. If you are growing stronger, if you're growing closer to Christ, then you are qualified, you are fit, you are equipped to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. Colossians 1, verses 9 through 12. It is my prayer that you'll take advantage of this time and this opportunity to keep growing, to keep enduring to the end. That's what Jesus would want us to do. Again, thank you for being with us tonight. If there's anything that we can do to assist you, please do not hesitate to call.